Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, you alone are the true living God. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. There are no other gods beside you. You alone are worthy of all of our praise. You alone are worthy of glory and majesty and power. Heavenly Father, help us to keep this in mind as we live in this ungodly world. So many things tug at our minds and our hearts for attention. Help us to understand that even now we are in the presence of the King. We pray that your word would go forth and accomplish its purpose in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the title, we're going to get right down to business this morning. No messing around, no review from last week. The title of our message this morning is Love Not the World. Now, I'd like to ask you if you have your Bible with you, and if not, there should be one right in front of you in the pew. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the small epistle of 1 John, chapter 2. We're going to be looking today at verses 15 through 17. And as you're turning there, let me tell you something that you may not be aware of. When you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you become a Christian, God will begin to fill your heart with love. But remember, you are not to love everything. In fact, if you're truly going to be a follower of God, there are certain things that you cannot love, certain things that you should not love. Now, you may be saying, really, what would those be? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I have an answer for you. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, what we should not love. Listen to this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, folks, right here in the Scriptures, the Apostle John, probably the closest earthly friend the Lord Jesus ever had, he tells us that we are not to love the world. Now, hey, this can be a difficult thing for us to remember sometimes, because quite often there are certain aspects of the world that are appealing. There are certain aspects of the world that are attractive. Some of them even may appear friendly. The truth is, the world, if you are a believer, is your enemy, and we are not to love the world. Now, before we go any further, what's John talking about when he says don't love the world? I don't want you to be confused about this. Now, look, I don't normally throw a bunch of Greek words at you. I speak English, okay? But in this particular case, I want to share a word with you. The word world here is translated from the Greek word cosmos. You've all heard of the cosmos. It's basically what cosmos means is it's saying that there is a order or a system that something operates under. Example, you may talk about the world of finance if you're a stockbroker. If you're an athlete, you may talk about the world of sports, or you may talk about the world of entertainment. It's just the system or order that those things operate under. So when John says don't love the world, he's not talking about the planet Earth. He's not talking about the people that are on the planet Earth. He's saying that there is a system that we're not to love, folks. There is a satanic, ungodly system that this world operates under, and it is against our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you're not to love the world. Although the world may appear to be friendly to you, remember, the world is a friendly enemy. So today, as we march through these verses, we're going to look at this world system and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about it. And before we're done, it is my prayer that you would understand a little bit more about why believers are not to love this world. We're going to talk this morning about the world and its character. We're going to talk this morning about the world and its corruption. And finally, we're going to talk this morning about this world and its condemnation. That is, what's going to happen to this world. How's all this going to end up? Let me give you a hint. We just read a little bit about it in our scripture reading. Now, the first point we want to consider this morning is, what is the character of this world? Verse 15 says that we're not to love the world, neither the things in the world. So what is the character of the world? I'm going to give you a few words this morning to tell you what the character of this world is all about, okay? I'm going to tell you what this world is. And every single one of these words, I made them all start with P, so they'll be easy for you to remember. The first thing I want to tell you about the world is that it has a prince, okay? It has a dark, diabolical devil for a prince. Satan is the prince of this world. But listen to what Jesus says. We don't have to worry, because Jesus tells us in John 12:31, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Jesus is talking about his upcoming crucifixion and resurrection that would break the devil's back. See, the devil is a powerful enemy that we face, but he's already a defeated enemy. We're told in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. This is describing to us how Satan, he has this world system and he cradles it and he rocks it. This is what's going on. The whole world system is under his control. Now, not only does this world have a prince, friends, it also has a philosophy. There is a network of ideas and values that are skillfully woven together to entrap the most innocent. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The wisdom of this world. See, this world is wise. This system of the world is wise, but it's wise in the ways of doing evil. So this world does have a philosophy. And in case you haven't been paying attention, the philosophy of this world stretches all the way from the White House to the schoolhouse. It stretches all the way from Hollywood and Sunset Boulevards to Wall Street. It's in every aspect of everything that's out there for you to see today. It's even in places, believe it or not, like Disney World. Now, it may seem beautiful, it may seem innocent, it may often seem enticing. Friends, this world has a prince, it has a philosophy, and it also has a purpose. What's the purpose of the world? I'm going to tell you. The purpose of the world, the carefully formulated plan of this world, is to draw you away from God. And because of that, this world is against Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus is speaking and he says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why does the world hate Jesus? Well, the world doesn't hate Jesus because he turned water into wine. The world doesn't hate Jesus because he healed the sick and caused the blind to see. The world doesn't hate Jesus, guys, because he walked on the water or fed the multitudes. The world doesn't even hate Jesus because he rose from the dead. Do you know why the world hates him? He tells us in that verse, John 7:7, he says, the world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I testify that what it does is evil. That's why the world hates him. I mean, today, you're not supposed to say anything's evil, right? Oh, you can't say that. That might offend somebody. What we need is more tolerance. You got to be tolerant today. Well, we've got to be tolerant of this group. We got to be tolerant of that group. You know what the biggest sin today is in our society? when a man stands up and calls sin what it is, sin. Because it's easier to say, I'm not a sinner. I've got a condition. I've been diagnosed with this. You've been diagnosed with the same thing I've been diagnosed with. I'm a rotten, filthy sinner. We don't have any excuses. But people don't want to hear that sin is sin. And that's why we see all this nonsense going on today. You can't even say anything without being on trial for violating somebody's civil rights. Friends, this world has a philosophy. It has a prince. It has a philosophy. It has a purpose, and it has a people. In Luke 16 and verse 8, we're told, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light. That means unbelievers are more wise to the ways of this world than believers are. See, you might as well understand it, folks. When you got saved, when you became a Christian, you immediately became different because you are twice born people in a world of once born people. And because of that, you're walking against traffic. You're swimming against the stream. The world wants to take you, man, and squeeze you into its mold. It wants to make you conform to its ways. It wants you to follow its prince, believe its philosophy, embrace its purpose, and become one of its people. So why does John say, love not the world? Number one, because of the world's character, because of what it does. Because of what it is. Number two, because of the corruption of the world. Look at verse 16. We're going to talk about the corruption of the world. For all that is in the world. Now, are you ready for this? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So not only do we see the character of the world, what it is, but we also see the corruption of the world, what it does. Now, this world system that would seduce you and attempt to lead you away from God, it has three main appeals. And they're all right here in verse 16. They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the three main areas where the devil will try to tempt you. Now, we're going to look at each one of these areas one by one to make sure you understand what they are and how it works. What is the lust of the flesh exactly? It's Satan's appeal to your old nature, friends. When the Bible says flesh, it's not talking about your skin and bones and your muscles. It's talking about that old sin nature. See, when you were born the first time, you received your flesh. When you were born again, you received spirit. So what you have is an old nature and a new nature. Now, your new nature, your spirit, it wants to do good. It wants to do the right thing. It wants to read the Bible and serve God and be in church on Sunday and do all the things that God would have you to do. But you also have that old nature, that flesh, and it ain't ready to lie down and die. There is a civil war going on inside of every one of us. Have you ever felt it? I know I have. We're told in the scripture that the spirit lusteth against the flesh and vice versa. There's a constant battle going on inside of us. You ever feel sometimes like you're being pulled apart, like maybe you're going crazy? Folks, you're not going crazy. That is the spirit warring against the flesh and the flesh warring against the spirit. The Bible calls this old nature and its desires the lust of the flesh. In the world, what's it say? Oh, pamper your flesh. Satisfy your flesh. Be good to your flesh. The lust of the flesh deals with our passion. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is the lust of the eyes, and it doesn't deal with your passion. It deals with your possessions. See, your eyes have an appetite also. You ever heard somebody say, Hey, man, feast your eyes on this. Of course you have. That's the lust of the eyes. And it, once again, it doesn't deal with our passions. It deals with our possessions. It deals with having. If the lust of the flesh deals with doing, the lust of the eyes deals with having. This type of temptation can be dangerous because it might be a lot more subtle or refined than the lust of the flesh. It may be more sophisticated, more intellectual. It may be physically beautiful. See, it's not merely a desire to have and own things. Many of those desires are legitimate. But the lust of the eyes is having this desire for more than you really need. It is a feeling of dissatisfaction with the things that you have. This is what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 when he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. This verse is often misquoted. You'll notice Paul doesn't say money is the root of anything. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Now, let me ask you a question and be honest, but don't answer me out loud. Just think this to yourself. What really motivates you? I mean, what really motivates you? What are your personal goals? Is the first goal in your life to be a godly person? I mean, is that goal number one for you? To seek the kingdom of God? Or are you more interested in being successful? Putting a few bucks back? Being able to get those things that you want? Are you more concerned with material things or godly things? Are you trying to put God in second place even though Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? See, our eyes, they look around and they say, yeah, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and hey, that looks pretty good. I'll have some of that as well. Friends, that's the lust of the eyes. So the lust of the flesh, that's our passions, and that deals with doing. The lust of the eyes, that's our possessions, and it deals with having. And finally, we've got the pride of life that deals with our position and being. See, this world today, it says, be somebody. Stand up and be recognized. Make a name for yourself. That's what is currently driving things in our society. That's why all of these idiots have their own reality shows. They get famous for doing nothing other than being famous. All of this is the pride of life, friends. I'm glad we got some young folks here today. Some young married folks and some young folks that will one day be married. Listen to me close. I counsel with many, many people here. And all of that stays confidential. But listen, there are many young couples that have problems. And you know what one of their biggest problems is? It's the pride of life, man. They want to keep up with the Joneses. So they buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. And then just about the time they catch up with the Joneses refinance. And then they got to start all over again. It's the pride of life. You think that you have to be noticed. This is why we have young women today that often dress so outlandishly. They want to draw attention to themselves. It's the pride of life. That's why we have guys going out and buying all kinds of things they can't afford. That's the pride of life. See, these people are drowning in a sea of insecurity. This is the reason for gossip. Because people are so insecure, they think, well, if I pull these people down, I can somehow elevate myself. This is the reason people do drugs and drink mass quantities of alcohol. Because when they're drunk or when they're high, they don't feel quite so insecure. They feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof. They're the life of the party, man. And they can feel like somebody for just a little while. There's a system that this world operates under. It deals with our passions, our possessions, and our position. It deals with doing, having, and being. And John says we are not to love it. Now somebody may say, look, John, you pretty much covered all of these things. I mean, there ain't nothing else to do if we don't do those things. What are we supposed to do? Just sit in the corner and suck our thumb? No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. What I'm trying to get across to you is every temptation from this world, it is actually a perversion of something that's good. In case you didn't realize it, the devil, the prince of this world, he is a pervert. He perverts every good thing of God. Now look, God wants you to be in the business of doing. He wants you to be in the business of having. He wants you to be in the business of being. Nothing wrong with those things. But he wants you to do it, folks, in the right way. You want something to do? Serve God. You want something to have? Give your heart to Jesus and you will have everything. Jesus says in Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. You want to be somebody? Give your heart to Jesus. Become his follower. You will immediately be a child of the King. You will be the next of kin to the Holy Trinity. Jesus will not be ashamed to call you his brother or his sister. See, real doing and having and being, they can all be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is a counterfeiter. Now, folks, we've talked about you're not to love the world because of its character, what it is. We've talked about you're not to love the world because of its corruption and what it does. And now we're going to talk about the third and final reason we're not to love the world, and that is because of its condemnation, where it's headed. Look at verse 17 in our text. And the world passeth away. Do you see that? The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, there's only one sure thing about this world system, and that is that it's not going to last forever. Only that which abides in the will of God is going to last forever. So in light of that, let me ask you a couple more questions. What is more important to you? Once again, don't answer me out loud. What is more important to you, the pleasures of the flesh or the joy of the spirit? What is more important to you this morning, that which is seen or that which is unseen? The praise of men or the glory of God? Those things that are temporary or those things that are eternal? See, if you're living for this world, you're painting the deck of a sinking ship, man. This world is passing away, and someday, very soon, the filthy fingers and the foul breath of decay, they're going to take away all those little toys and trinkets that you have. The devil rules a doomed domain. Jesus says in John 16:11 that the prince of this world is judged. See, long after this world system is passed away and all the things that have been corrupted by rust, dust, and decay are long gone, all those things that you dreamed for, schemed for, and sold your soul for have been desecrated into dust. Those who know the Lord will still be sitting in his kingdom praising him. Somebody may hear this morning and say, come on, Sander, You really believe all that stuff, man, about heaven and eternity? That's just a bunch of pie in the sky. I like pie. But this is more, much, much more. Much, much more than pie in the sky. I've told many of you before that my all-time favorite preacher to listen to is the late Dr. Adrian Rogers. What a great man of faith. He preached for many years in the state of Tennessee, and he believed in heaven, I assure you. But listen to what he was quoted as saying one time. Even if there were no heaven or no hell, I would still be a Christian just to get to know the Lord Jesus in this life. And man, I agree with that. See, I don't know how you folks feel, but I think it's fun to go against the flow. I don't mind being different. It's not wrong to be different. It's good to walk with the Lord. But keep in mind that while you're walking with him on planet Earth, you're only a pilgrim, folks. This is not your home. And I believe someday very soon that trumpet may sound. And when that happens, the scriptures say that as believers, we will be caught up to meet the Lord and we will remain with him forever. Now, let me remind you of something when it comes to going with the flow or being different. When Noah got on the ark, he was in the minority. When he got off the ark, he was in the majority. This world is passing away, ladies and gentlemen. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you know why this world is such a problem for so many people? Look at 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Now check this out. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So do you know why so many people love the world? I'll tell you. Because that's all they have to love. The love of the Father does not abide within them. They don't know any better. If I didn't know Jesus, I really don't know what I would do. I know what I used to do before I was living for him. And there was a whole lot of chasing after the things of the world. But think about this for a minute. Look around. If you don't know Jesus, what else is there? If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, it doesn't say the love of the Father is not in him because he loves the world. It says he loves the world because of the love of the Father is not in him. The guy doesn't have anything else to love. So instead of loving the real thing, he embraces a counterfeit. Let me give you just a quick illustration. Tuesday night, all the kids were gone. It was just Sheila and I. I took her out to eat at the Moonlight. We had a tremendous dinner. A couple of wonderful steaks cooked to perfection. We had some nice baked potatoes, a great salad, some fresh bread. We even had some dessert. And when I got done, I didn't want nothing else, man. I was full. I was satisfied. I had the real thing. Now, if at that point, after having that real delicious meal, if somebody would have came up to me with some stale crumbs on a paper plate, knocked a couple bugs off the side and said, "Here you go, John, eat this," I would have said, "No, thanks. I'm satisfied." See, this is the same thing for those who are believers versus those who are not believers. Non-believers, they love the things of this world because they've never had the genuine article. They follow the prince of this world, who is a counterfeiter, who is a fake. He's a phony. He's a liar and he's a pervert. And you don't have to be in the back alley eating tin cans with the devil's billy goats if you're feasting on Jesus. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Give your heart to Jesus. If you haven't done that, I'm telling you. You were made to serve God. We're told that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And you know what? The love of the Father is not a what, it's a who. Do you know who the love of the Father is? It's His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that overcometh, even our faith." If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've never repented of your sin and asked Him to come in your heart, I want to ask you, I want to encourage you this morning, put your faith where God the Father put your sins, right on Jesus. Put your faith right on Jesus. You will have joy unspeakable. You will have peace in the midst of the storm. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that if you come to know Jesus, all your earthly problems are going to go away, because they're probably not going to. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to make somebody mad. Many people have problems that are self-inflicted. Okay? You can come to know Jesus. You may still face the earthly consequences for your lack of judgment and making poor decisions. I'm not going to say that those are going to go away. But God promises to walk with you through those problems. And not only will you spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can also have Him now while you walk on this earth, moment by moment. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the truth that is contained in Your word. Sometimes that truth comforts us, encourages us. Other times that truth convicts us. And Lord, I pray that Your word that went out this morning brought some conviction to those that needed that. But Lord, I also pray that those who were needing some encouragement and some comfort, those that needed to be reminded that even though everything in this world is evil, You're still good and You're still in charge and You still love those who put their trust in You, I pray that those people would be greatly encouraged, that they would not grow weary of well-doing, that they would not forsake the assembling of themselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but Lord, that we would be faithful to carry out Your will, to be here with our brothers and sisters on a regular basis, and so much more as we see the day of Jesus approach, drawing near. Lord, we ask all these things in Your holy name. Amen. God bless you all.